Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The imminent Independence Day holiday is another milepost in the annual gardener's calendar. You might be seeing the first fruits of your labors, either of the flower or the edible variety. Melinda Myers is our gardening contributor, and she's with us to talk about the balance between beauty and abundance. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mitch. It's always great to be here.
Before we get to talking about gardens, let's talk about talking about gardens for just a minute. You recently won a pretty major communications award from, is it the American Horticultural Society?
You bet. And it recognizes professionals in various areas. And the Communication Award recognizes my work through different media, teaching, lecturing, radio and television, and nice folks like you that give me the opportunity to reach gardeners via radio, which is very efficient, but also has that nice personal touch, I think.
Well, and it strikes me that we have never actually sat down and talked about how this became a big part of who you are. I mean, you have worked in the garden probably as long as you've been able to talk, but when did the communicating of what you do become such a key part of the equation for you?
You know, I started as an extension with Extension, which is the outreach arm of the university, of the UW system here in Wisconsin. And part of my job was to teach homeowners. I started the Master Gardener program here in Milwaukee County, talking to professionals and communities about gardening, about beautification, community gardening. And so I had the opportunity to reach a lot of people. Well, being an extension agent, the media often comes if there's a drought or a flood or, you know, the winds damage trees, and they come and interview you and ask questions. And so through that, I had an opportunity to start writing for the newspaper, doing radio and TV interviews. And as my career grew and changed, my opportunities with the media did the same. And I look at doing TV, radio, the newspaper as just a different classroom. You know, this is my way of reaching a lot of people efficiently, but having that touch, because so many people are excited about gardening. Some are brand new, so this is a new mystery to them. And some gardeners have been doing it a long time, but every year is different in Wisconsin and every season is different. And so the challenges really can add some, I think, excitement to gardening. Sometimes a little too much challenge for some of us, but I think it's great because we get to learn every season something new. And my job, I feel, is to help share what I've learned along the way, what gardeners share with me, and pass it on. And so one of the things I like is I love the applied science of horticulture. But as you can tell, I like to talk to people. So I've been able to put the two together through this career. First as an extension agent, as an assistant city forester, as a technical college teacher, now on my own, working with folks like you.
Well, and do you see is the key challenge in managing the message, I mean, tailoring the message to whatever level that you're speaking to?
I think so, and I think sharing the passion, you know. And I'm very practical. I think I'm like everybody else. I'm busy. I have a longer list than time available. I have delusions of grandeur every spring. I'm going to get those plants in the ground and my garden's going to be bigger. And I end up in the same place so many of us do, with a few weeds to manage, which I have right now. And, you know, it's the rain. It's the rain. But, you know, we always have those challenges. And so one of the things I like to share are practical ways to resolve the problems, things that work for me. You know, I know I'm not unique. We're all busy. We all want to have a beautiful landscape, but we don't have as much time as we want, most of us. And so I like to pass on practical solutions and also make people feel okay. You know, we all fail. We all kill plants. And anyone that denies that has not been gardening. Yeah. It's all I got to say. Or they lie very well. So it's part of the process of learning.
Well, speaking of management, we're going to talk for a few minutes today about managing gardens and landscapes for both beauty and productivity. And that's a key part of the paradigm for many of us. Let's talk about, first of all, whether these are mutually exclusive terms. Can something be both beautiful and productive?
It definitely can. And part of it is the right plant in the right location. And we often, all of us, try new plants that are out on the market and they really do great. And sometimes they do too well. I think you were sharing that you have a Russian sage.
Yeah, that's an excellent example. We bought these Russian sage to add to our landscape, and they were beautiful for a while. And then they became productive. And I'm not sure having Russian sage crowding out our driveway necessarily qualifies as beauty. It certainly quantifies.
Yes.
So let's take that as an example. You know, what should we do when things start getting out of control?
Well, some of the things you can do are manage the plants differently. So with Russian sage, for example, they do send out runners for many gardeners. So you can go out with a sharp shovel and disconnect and kind of try to keep it contained. For many gardeners, Russian sage gets floppy. And especially as it gets older, or if it's in shade, or for those gardening in heavy soils that are really nutrient rich, tends to flop. Cut it back at the end of the winter to 4 to 6 inches. Even if it survives 3 feet high, cut it back. Then if it still flops, in mid-June, cut it back halfway. And that will help to keep it more compact. Then the other thing that you can do is remove it and compost it if you can't find someone with more room that would like to adopt your plant. And sometimes people look at me like, you're really saying compost that plant? You know, it's a different form that you're putting the plant back in the garden. You're not wasting it. You're not throwing it away. You're composting it, so it's going to add something to your garden. And the nice thing about perennials, you can dig and move them. You can dig and share them. And you can compost them. Trees and shrubs are a bigger expense and not so easy to move. So those are things that we really want to definitely take some time, because you can manage the size, but it's a lot of work. You have a lot of yard waste to manage then. You know, what are you going to do with all that brush? And keeping a 40-foot tree down to 20 is really difficult and not good for the plant. So we can have productive, meaning full and vigorous, or in the case of fruits and vegetables, lots of edible fruits, lots of edible vegetables.
Well, and so let's talk about the edible part of this equation. What about the idea of managing edible things to be both productive and attractive?
You know, back in the late 70s when I started my career, a lot of people were gardening in containers and in their front yard. So you put a vegetable garden in the front yard, a little more acceptable now, but, you know, depending on where you live, your neighbors might think you're crazy.
A little bohemian.
A little bohemian, exactly. The good news is a lot of breeders are developing compact varieties, things with colorful fruit that are much easier to blend in with flowers, and lots of colorful trellises. So those cucumbers, instead of wandering all over the yard, put them on a really nice obelisk, train them up, and it looks really nice and beautiful and productive. You also will get better production from your vegetables with regular harvesting, and they'll look better. So if you continue to pick your zucchini when they're 6 inches long instead of baseball bat size, you'll get more zucchini and it looks better. You know, they'll be colorful, they'll look good, and you won't have your neighbors running from you when you come to the door with a big baseball bat zucchini. So it's kind of in that design. And a lot of what I like to talk about are flavorful landscapes, looking at substitution. So if you're looking for something to make, say, jams and jellies, some of the new elderberries are beautiful. So they're nice, attractive shrubs. You can harvest the fruit if you can beat the birds to them, and you use it instead of, say, a viburnum that you couldn't use that, or the Japanese maple that won't survive very easily in Wisconsin. How about a black lace elderberry? So we can look at doing substitutions. Raspberries can be a little overwhelming, but can you think of any better barrier plant? If you'd want to get somebody to stop cutting through your grass, put a stand of raspberries there, and they won't be using that as their shortcut anymore.
Can you eat Russian sage?
Not that I know, but it smells good when you prune it. So I think we're going to have to maybe look at either doing a little severe root pruning or a little composting in your case.
It's a deal. Melinda Myers, thanks.
Thank you, Mitch.
The award-winning Melinda Myers has written numerous books on gardening, leads regular walks at Berner Botanical Gardens, and has a new series of DVDs on gardening called How to Grow Anything. She's also our regular gardening contributor, and you can find links to much more about her from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a break and then continue our look at the role of Wisconsin soldiers at the Battle of Gettysburg when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.